Our scripture reading this morning is off the lectionary. I used the lectionary, as I mentioned earlier this Wednesday, to talk about Jesus as the table-turning prophet. That was the passage that was to be today from the lectionary. And I chose instead to go a different way, to look at a story in the New Testament that talks about music and singing and how music nurtures our faith and indeed can transform us. And that's the title for this morning, How Music Nurtures Faith and Transforms Us. And I'm reading a passage of scripture that's from the book of Acts, Luke's book of Acts, chapter 16. It's a story when Paul and Silas are imprisoned by the local magistrates and begin to pray and sing. I remember reading this story the very first time being presented it during vacation Bible school as a child. And I was taught several songs about Paul and Silas in prison. I won't sing them this morning, but they're still around on YouTube. I was pleased to find them there and sing them to myself. But here's the reading from the book of Acts, chapter 16, beginning at verse 20. When they had brought them before the magistrates, they said, "These men are disturbing our city. They are Jews and are advocating customs that are not lawful for us as Romans to adopt or observe." The crowd joined in attacking them, and the magistrates had them stripped of their clothing and ordered them to be beaten with rods. After they had given them a severe flogging, they threw them into prison and ordered the jailer to keep them securely. Following these instructions, he put them in the innermost cell and fastened their feet in the stocks. Now, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was an earthquake so violent that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were unfastened. Let us pray as we come to the message this morning. Oh Lord, I pray that you would speak to each person who has come to worship this morning at their very point of need. They may not realize it's their very point of need, but speak to each servant that is here today, O Lord, and give them a word that's tailor-made just for them. And Lord, may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, you are our strength and redeemer. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I want to begin this morning by asking you a question. If someone were to ask you, what is your favorite commandment in the Bible, what would you say is your favorite commandment? I did that in the first service, and someone told me after, "Thou shalt not steal." That's my favorite. That seems kind of odd. Thou shalt not steal. There are other commandments other than just the Big Ten. For example, I have always liked the commandment at the end of the Gospel of Matthew that Jesus gives his disciples to go and make disciples. I have always enjoyed that in my ministry, wherever I have been, welcoming people into the body of Christ, helping them to feel accepted and needed, and providing them with a place of fellowship, a sense of belonging and purpose, and hopefully preparing them to go out in mission. But I've always enjoyed making disciples of others. Well, a lot of times we think of commands that come to us in the Bible as obligations and burdens, things that we have to do. But of course, from God's perspective, anytime God or Jesus commands us to do something, it is connected to God's compassion, and it is always connected to God's protection for us and to help us to live lives which are joyous and purposeful. I want to suggest to you that one of our most favorite commands should be to sing to the Lord a new song. That should be one of our tops. That command, by the way, comes from Psalm 100 in so many words, and in over 40 times in the Psalms, we are commanded to sing to the Lord. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. What a beautiful hymn of faith. Make a joyful noise. That's all that some people can do, present company included, of course. But sometimes there are people who just don't feel like singing. And I get that. There are people that go through certain experiences that just helps them to feel like they don't want to sing. I'm thinking this morning about a story I told some years ago. I told it to our staff Monday, and they had forgotten it. And I said, good, I'll use it this Sunday. It's about a little songbird who went through a difficult time. The woman who owned him as her pet parakeet had named him Chippy. And one day she was cleaning out his cage, and you've done this in some form or fashion. She had her cell phone up and talking to a friend and not noticing what she was doing, and there she was in the parakeet cage with that big canister hose, that big vacuum, and all of a sudden, sloop! She threw down the phone. She tore open that bag. And there was Chippy, feathers all ruffled and dusty. And she ran to the bathroom and put him under the water and gave him a bath and shook him dry and then got the blow dryer and put it on high to make sure he was perfectly dry. And she put him back in the cage on his perch. A few days later, she was talking to her daughter by phone who was in college, and the mother told her daughter the story and how bad she felt about what had happened and how careless she had been. And her daughter said, Mom, how's Chippy now? Tell me about Chippy. How's he doing? And the mother said, well, Chippy's not doing very well. He doesn't sing any longer. He just sort of sits there and stares. It's no wonder Chippy had gone through a difficult time. And now that I've got your attention, I want to say something in all seriousness, all joking aside. You know, and I know, Paul Means knows, our Stephen ministers know that there are people we talk to and pray with in this church and in our community that have gone through difficulty. And there are times when you talk to people like that, it seems like the song has simply gone out of them. And you get that. And I get that too. There are those who feel they have been placed often in chains, bound by some trouble or illness or loss or tragedy, and they no longer feel like humming or tapping their feet. I get that. There are people that go through that. I have been through that. It often happens a season at a time, but it happens. And here is my belief this morning. It is my belief and perhaps yours. It certainly is a biblical truth that music and singing are clearly gifts from God. They are means of God's grace to remind us of God's power to transform His people. And they remind us of the mighty acts of God through Scripture. And those stories, those words, when put to music, they nurture us, they comfort us, they redeem us. God's new song placed in a person's heart can transform them. Some years ago now, one of our members came to me on Easter Sunday morning. And although he had recently suffered the loss of his beloved wife, Mary Ann, he walked up to me, he shook my hand, and with a great confidence, he said to me, Pastor, this is the day the Lord has made. And I responded, "We will rejoice and be glad in it." He couldn't help but shout out his faith. He almost sang it. So much of the Bible, you know, is put to music. It is put to music for singing, like in the book of the Psalms. It's a book for singing, not just for reading. I was reading this week about what it must be like in heaven, and I read the quote, I don't know that it's true, that there'll be no preaching in heaven, just singing. And I will be so relieved not to have to prepare another sermon. It's all singing in heaven, I understand. David, King David, and the other singers, they recorded in the Psalms many moods. They recorded songs of sorrow, of trust in God, of praise to God for God's faithfulness. They couldn't help but sing. And it's recorded for us in that songbook, the Psalms. And so this morning, let's look at some of the ways that God's grace has been extended to us through great music and singing that nurtures our faith and can transform us by God's grace. First, note with me that music helps us to handle stress, that music can be healing and calming. King Saul, again in the Old Testament, he knew that. He was a strong king, but he was troubled, we read, by depression. And the Bible records that he often called on David when David was just a young man. David was a beloved singer of Israel, and he came to play on his small harp before the king. And the king's troubles would be soothed, and he would be calmer. It does make you wonder, what specific psalm did King Saul like the most? I've always wondered that. Perhaps it was Psalm 121. The words are treasured by many. "I will lift mine eyes unto the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." And it continues. It's so beautiful, Psalm 121. The Bible records that whenever David sang and when he played music, Saul would always feel better. You see, God has given us the gift of music, and this gift has medicinal value. It does. It can heal our anxious spirits. In my preparation for this particular sermon, I listened to several talks from doctors at Johns Hopkins Medical Research Center. And it was exciting to hear in their research how they were learning that music can alter our emotions and be used as medical treatments for people, to provide healing for people with mental health issues, for depression, anxiety, and addiction. And they now have discovered that the neural pathways in the brain seem to attract, but they loved music and rhythm and a beat. And they're now developing therapies to use for people who have Parkinson's and Alzheimer's and a number of other ailments. Music can transform us. It can heal us. I remember growing up, the baseball player Oral Hershiser. He was born just a little before me, and I always admired him. I remember watching him on television. When I was a teenager, I was a catcher on the baseball team. And it was always so hot and all that gear. But I imagined and dreamed that one day I would be catching for the great Hershiser. That didn't happen. In about 1988, Hershiser was a guest on a late night TV show. You may remember that show was called The Tonight Show. And it was hosted at that particular time by Johnny Carson, who hosted it for 3 decades. And Carson asked Oral Hershiser how he dealt with the stress as a pitcher when he was on the mound in a baseball game. And he said that what he would do is he would step off the mound when he felt stressed, when there was a batter coming up that was very good, or when he was not pitching well. He would step off the mound and he would sing a little song to himself. And then he said he would step back up on the mound and he would throw that ball and he would get 'em every time. And so Johnny asked, as Johnny did others, would you mind singing just a few verses of that song with us? And if you know it, sing it with me. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Music. It helps us in times of stress and healing, and it also, just like that great picture, it can empower us for living. Secondly, music helps us to express and reinforce our faith. And thank you, by the way. To reinforce our faith, to truth be known, we may actually just learn more about faith in Christ, many of us, from music and songs than we do from sermons and studies. I, for one, love to study music and the lyrics. They're just fantastic. There are countless examples of how singing helps to shape faith. I think this morning of those slaves coming over in the slave ships and living in harsh conditions just several hundred years ago, gathered around a campfire perhaps at night singing, "Nobody knows the troubles I've seen, nobody knows but Jesus." Those were sincere songs. Or I imagine this morning the choirs in medieval cathedrals chanting in Latin as they did before the Reformation. And then the Protestant Reformation broke them free from just using choirs who sang in Latin, mostly priests. And then those in the pews, they took worship over and they began singing in the language of the day. Imagine the crowds gathering during the period of the Reformation for the very first time, singing together in worship. Imagine, "A mighty fortress is our God," and how strong they would have sung that hymn of faith. Well, music is like that. It can strengthen our faith. It reminds us of our faith. And thirdly, music and singing help us to overcome darkness. They help us to overcome the trials that we face. I just love this story from the book of Acts about Paul and Silas. It was about midnight, the text reminded us, and they were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And then suddenly there was this earthquake so violent that it shook the foundations of the prison, and everyone was loosened from their chains. Can you imagine the look on those prisoners as they passed by Paul and Silas to escape from that prison? As they probably just kept singing and they kept staring at them, wondering what has transformed them. I need that. They learned, as we can, that prayer and singing songs about Christ in the night can free us from that which is binding us. Anything that binds us, we can be freed from it by the power of Christ. Even when we are in the dark and do not know our way forward, He guides us. And finally, always remember that singing and music help us to celebrate Christ's victory in advance. In advance. Do you know what that means? It means we know this old world is tough. And sometimes we look out and it appears that evil is winning. But then we hear a hymn or a song based on Holy Scripture that promises us that if we follow Christ, there will be victory at the end. A day when disease, disorder, terror, and death will be no more. That's what's promised. Hymns, they nurture our faith. They can transform us and give us comfort and peace and help us celebrate the victory that is ours. Just recently, I mentioned last Sunday, I suffered the loss of my stepdad, Charlie Burks. It reminded me of just some years ago, the loss of my father-in-law, Fred Kinfield, my wife's dad. And I remember Fred, he had been a funeral director for 60 years, and we used to visit often about things about the church that he loved and things about funerals and the history of all of that. And in his early 90s, he was in the hospital in St. Pete. And one Sunday, I left church here, and he wanted me to come to visit. And I got to his bedside, and he said, "Well," he said, "one thing I want to know, what songs did you sing today at church?" And I mentioned to him, we sang one of my favorites, "Now We Thank All Our God." And he closed his eyes and began to sing it. "Now we thank all our God with hearts and hands and voices. What wondrous things he has done, in whom our world rejoices. Who from our mother's womb has guided us all our days and blessed us with countless gifts of love that are still are ours today." There in that hospital room, we were celebrating God's victory in advance. And as we come to this table of the Lord today, I want to invite you to claim that victory today at this very meal of our Lord. At the heart of it is the celebrated truth that Christ wins in your life. And so claim that victory. Amen.